Listen, I am thankful that you were able to join us for our season opener, for our fifth season. Kathy Lee, thank you very much.
Congratulations, Drew.
Yeah, it's I actually had the owner of the station here on the show to start off the show today, and he was surprised I lasted this long.
Nobody's more surprised than I am, unless maybe your wife.
Yes, and she says hello as well. Says
and
hello
back
as well.
To her. She's still running her wonderful camp for kids and
she's,
all that?
Yeah, she's up there working at the ranch. She's just we just finished last week of summer camp, was yesterday. So
good.
Yeah,
good,
so
good.
She's doing quite well, doing quite well.
Good for her. She's real devoted to that. It's so one of those unsung little angels in the world that keeps just doing godly thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't expect an award for it, just does
nope.
what God puts in front of her.
You've just nailed her perfectly. She is one of the behind-the-scenes people that make the rest of us look pretty good, you know?
I know.
Us yappy ones.
Yeah. Well, you know, God hasn't handed out his crowns yet, so their day is coming, as we all know.
Listen, how many times, Kathy Lee, have people come up to you and suggested that you be the new one on The View?
Oh, golly, yeah. That's pretty much on a daily basis. Yeah.
Come on.
No, you know what? They asked me last spring to sort of throw my hat in the arena, and I very gratefully declined. I just, it's just not, it's taken me 7 years to get away from that whole sort of, I don't want to put it down because the ladies there are my friends, but that show has become such a hotbed for
controversy,
intrigue and controversy, yeah. And it's like, I've been there, done that,
yeah.
Ad infinitum, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, Lord, unless you tell me yourself personally with a burning bush sort of situation, I want you to go to The View.
Is that what God sounds like?
He must. I doubt he sounds like, you know, oh gosh, can we talk? I don't think he sounds like Joan Rivers.
Like Joan Rivers.
I don't think so.
Well, I thought he might have had at least a bit of a Jewish tinge to the accent.
All right, so he talks like, like this. I want you to do this thing.
But now you and because Rosie was the controversy there in many of the scenarios, mm-hmm. But you and Rosie, are you not friends? Because her and Donald came to your opening night of Under the Bridge in New York.
Yeah, no, I am friends with Rosie, and I disagree with her on, you know, lots of different subjects,
sure.
But that doesn't mean I can't be her friend.
See, that's inspirational to me, and I don't mean to sound cheesy, because whenever people use that word, it's sometimes very cheesy, but man, for you, Kathy Lee Gifford, to be friends with Rosie O'Donnell, two totally different worldviews.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Well, you know what? She has shared things with me in the past that she's entrusted to me, and I have been faithful to keep them entrusted.
Good for you.
She never heard of them anywhere. She never read about them, so she knew that I could be trusted. And I'm just supposed to love her. I don't need to agree with her.
Mm.
I just have to love her. That's what I'm called to do as a Christian. And she's a very lovable person when you really know her.
Yeah.
There's a tender heart there. There is a generous heart. She is a deeply, deeply wounded person from things that have happened in her past.
Sure.
And you know, that's the trouble with statistics. It's also the trouble with lots of gay people, that we just don't, Christians sort of tend to not know anybody that's
no.
gay.
No.
So it's sort of easy to say, well, it's those people. But they don't have, they don't know them as people. They don't know their stories. They don't know them as friends. And, you know, I think the one thing we can always learn from the example that Jesus, you know, set for us as he walked on the earth, that he knew people. He knew them. He took the time to know them and love them and see into their heart. And then he just befriended them. And as a result of his love for them, people changed.
Mm.
Not because he said, you woeful sinner, you're going straight to hell, which we're just so fast to do. Well, then you know what? We're all going straight to hell.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
And instead, he just loved them, and they changed the direction of their life because they came face to face with love itself. To me, that's the whole story of the gospel.
Hmm. You are a gem. You know, I like you. I just, you know, I don't say that very often because I don't like a lot of people. But
you pretty
much
despise everyone from what I can see.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
It's a gift. Yeah. Now,
you put on a very tough front, but I know you, Drew, now how many years?
Yeah.
You are, I don't want to ruin your reputation.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. You're a real pain in the butt.
How can you be friends with Rosie and Donald? I mean, did you have to do any mediation there? You know, did you sit down and have a little mediation, a little counseling?
I actually didn't do any mediation,
oh.
But I wrote them notes separately.
Yeah.
and pretty much said, "You guys, you don't want to do this. This is neither one of you are coming off the way you want to come off."
Yeah.
Because Donald happens to be a longtime friend. Frank has known Donald since he was 14 or 15 years old.
Really?
Yeah, they used to play golf together, and when Frank was playing for the Giants, and we're talking a long time ago.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and Rosie and I have been friends forever, and Donald, of course, I met years. I mean, that's the nice thing about getting older. You go back so far with so many people that you really can't play games with them because they just know too much.
Exactly.
And they really should be destroyed. So
yeah.
I just sort of basically love them both and basically said to Donald, you know, I thought what he did with the Miss USA, I thought was a beautiful thing. He did give her a chance. I thought what Rosie did when she made fun of him was wrong. But then I thought the way Donald's reaction to what Rosie did was ungentlemanly. So, you know, it just went on and on and on. And I know both of them enough to know that they realize, well, this isn't pleasant, but darn, the ratings are good. So, you know, you get into, that's the kind of thing I'm not anxious to get into anymore, if you can understand, Drew.
Oh, I totally understand.
It's completely disingenuous.
Nope.
And the public falls for it every time. Hmm. Donald doesn't hate Rosie anymore. Rosie hates Donald. It just became good, very good business.
Folks, we are chatting with the one and only, Kathy Lee Gifford. And a number of months ago, my daughter screamed at me from the back room to come, and I thought she'd fallen over and cut herself. And lo and behold, That's So Raven was on.
Oh,
and there was a pink dog, and there was you running all over the place, tripping over stuff, and, I don't know, causing a ruckus and a scene. And
that's right.
My goodness. And Cassidy was on as well?
About 3 years ago, maybe it's four this summer, Cassidy just basically decided that what she wanted to be in life was an actress and said, "Mommy, can we do That's So Raven?" Here's the advantage of being a known entity within the business. I was able to call my agent and able to get us booked on the That's So Raven show, but it ended up being a real good world, a lesson for Cass, because Cass was booked on it with no experience, and, you know, that's, you know, other kids work their rear ends off for years and don't get those kinds of breaks. But she got the script, and there were three little lines in it. And she was like, "Mommy, but it's only three lines." And I said, "Cass, let me tell you something. That's how all great careers start. You be so good with those three lines that they're going to give you some more. They'll give you two more lines, I promise you. However, if you don't do well with the three you're given, then they'll take them away and you'll end up on the editing floor. That's the cruel reality of this business, baby." So she worked hard. She hit her mark. She was adorable. She was gracious and kind and polite to everybody. And the next at our rehearsal, the next morning, I hear a scream. We're staying at a hotel out in Los Angeles. I go, "What is it?" I thought she slipped in the bathtub. She goes, "They gave me more lines, Mom." So she learned a very, very,
good.
Very good lesson. And then she went and studied at the Strasberg Institute.
Nice.
We just came back from California, where she studied for a week with the top acting coach out there for children. And because she has booked two movies that she's about to do.
Wow.
And I want her prepared. I mean, I say to Frank, you wouldn't send Cody into a football game if he didn't know the plays and he wasn't prepared and he hadn't done his workouts and he hadn't, you know, eaten a good breakfast. You would never send your child in unskilled to do something that could potentially harm them. I'm not sending Cassidy onto a movie set without her skills as well. So, you know, we can't determine our kids' dreams, Drew. You know that from your own kids. But we can help their dreams come true. We just have to, you know, make sure that their hearts are right and that they're seeing a bigger picture and that they're you know, solid in the eyes of the Lord. And I'll do everything for my daughter and my son with that my Heavenly Father will do for me if my heart is right.
You make so much sense. Kathy Lee Gifford on the phone with us, Jimmy Kimmel.
I love Jimmy Kimmel.
Well, what's the connection? Like, are you just buddies?
We're just buddies.
Really?
I don't know. You know what?
He seems to be so connected.
You know, it's the craziest thing. There again, you think, what do these two people have in common? But I'm really close friends with Jimmy's family, his Uncle Frank and his sister and his cousin and his, I mean, everybody. Jimmy's a very, very devoted family kid. Of all the late show hosts, I think he's by far the nicest, and actually does his homework the most.
Wow.
He's really, really clever, And I'm so glad what's happening for him now. He's a very, very nice guy. Does he push the envelope? Of course. He's paid to push the envelope.
Yeah.
But if you meet him and know him, he's such a good guy.
That's great. That's good to hear. How do you respond when I say these three names? Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, or Lindsay Lohan?
I respond exactly the same way to all three, which is with tremendous sadness. I know all three of them. I feel so saddened by what their life has become because they had tremendous promise, all of them, and they've just chosen a really, really wretched path that's only going to lead to more destruction. I just wish they had been parented more carefully. I wish they knew how much God loves them and how their value is not in what the world says about them, but what the Word of God says about them.
Hmm.
Cassie and I talk about it all the time because, you know, this is the world she wants to go into and is already in.
How does Frank feel about her wanting to get into the acting stuff?
Frank far prefers she become a librarian. You know? And frankly, if she wanted to be a librarian, I'd take her to the library every day.
Yes.
You know? But that's not what she wants. It's in her genetic makeup to want something else. And I say to her what my other dear friend out there, who is a beautiful, godly woman who has a son who's just done his first feature film, and she's all concerned about him as well. And I said, and she said something so valuable to me while we were out in California. She said, I said to my son, you know, as long as I see you influencing Hollywood more than I see Hollywood influencing you, then you've got my blessing.
Hmm.
But the minute I see Hollywood affecting the human being and the calling that God has on your life, I will yank the chain so fast, maybe you won't know what hit you.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell Cassidy as well. I said, my trust and the Lord's trust is yours to lose.
Well, that's active godly parenting. I mean, I hope that's what we're all doing with our kids, whether it be MSN, the computer, the internet, the friends, the movies, the whatever. As soon as we see that affecting you more than, you know, I guess.
You're affecting it?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's, and we know, I mean, it's instant. I mean, my daughter last night, kill me for talking about this, but I'm just going to say it in a general way. Got a spider bite on her face about a month ago, and it's turned into like a scar on her beautiful little face.
She is gorgeous too, by the way. I mean, unbelievably gorgeous.
She is a truly. I mean, God has blessed her with that. But I keep trying to tell her that God blessed Queen Esther that way too. But it was for His purpose.
Mm.
God used Esther's beauty to save His people. I said, God gave you beauty, Cassidy, in a physical way for the same reason He gave Queen Esther. I don't know that you're going to end up saving God's people, but He has the same purpose for you, that to honor Him and to bring glory to Him. And we will see how God will use your beauty. You start doing pornos, baby, it's all over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But she was really obsessing about it. Finally, I said to her last night about a little friend of hers who just discovered a melanoma.
Oh, man.
On her little tummy. And I said, Cassidy, you get out of bed right now. You stop talking about this thing on your face, which is nothing. You get on your knees and pray for your little friend, which we did. I said, now you call her, because she just had her first chemotherapy.
Mm.
I said, you find out how she's doing. And the minute we get home, because we're in our place in Nantucket right now, you invite her over, and we start just loving her, because she can't go back to school. You're whining and moaning about you got to go to school next week.
Yeah.
She can't go to school, because she's taking chemotherapy. And Cassie, you know, it's amazing how they instantly realize it when you just remind them.
Hmm.
Remind them, this is a little thing on your face, honey. She has something on her body that might kill her.
Hmm.
Everything's relative. Everything. And Cass, you know, I didn't want to destroy her spirit, but I wanted her to get her eyes off herself.
Sure.
The way God has to get my eyes off me when things are bugging me and I become self-centered and selfish.
Yeah, I tried something similar to what you tried, but mine didn't go as well. My daughter was crying in the bathroom because the shirt didn't fit her, and she was all set to go somewhere. Now, I don't want to go out. I'm not going out, you know, and crying, and it was a frustrating day for me, and I'm a male, and I don't get that thing at all. And so what I did was I grabbed the picture of our sponsor child from Compassion and slid it under the door and said some kind of comment, and yeah, it didn't quite go as well as your story did.
No, but you were trying to do the same thing.
Yeah.
What are you complaining about? A shirt that doesn't fit you? This child would be happy to have a shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
And so it didn't go well?
No, those sorts of extravagant parenting, things don't ever go well for me. My wife can get away with it, but
yeah.
I'm just a, you
I
know.
Might be a, I might be a mother thing. I hate to make those gendered, you know, sort of blanket statements, because I think they're unhealthy and unhelpful, because I know some men who are much better mothers than some women I know.
Well, like your husband.
He is a much better mother than I am. Always has been.
Yeah, I love the quote. I've used this quite often, that you say that Frank is the best mother you know.
He is truly the best, and the best father. So I'm like, you know, he is truly beautiful.
I saw a picture recently. I think it might have been in People's. Not that that's a constant rag for me or anything. I just was, I have to explain where I saw it. It's like I was looking at a porn or something.
No, but you also need to know what's going on in the world to be effective in the world you're in.
Thank you. Okay.
No excuse for reading that.
Okay. Well, then there we go. So I have a yearly subscription, and I saw a picture of Frank and Cody. And was Cody on a hill, or is he a giant?
He's 6'3 now.
Good night.
And in fairness and honesty, Frank is starting to shrink. So, you know.
Wow.
It happens. Frank, when I met him, was when I married him, was 6'1".
Hmm.
He's 4'2 now.
Yeah.
No, I'm only kidding. He's lost an inch or so. But Cody, by comparison, is 6'3". So a good 3 inches over his dad now, yeah.
Model behavior and kids news.
Yes, and it's funny. I was asked today to fill out one of his college application things, because he's going to be applying for colleges, and you know, the high school asks you to, what do you know about your child that would say pretty much everything about your kid? It's so funny. I used a situation from model behavior when I answered the question. I said, a few years ago, Cody was asked to be in a film with me. And my husband and I were against it at the beginning, because it was like, why does he need to do a movie? He was in school, you know, would have taken him out of school and everything. Finally, Cody was relentless, and he finally said to me something that made tremendous sense. He said, Mom, how am I going to know if this is what I want to do if I don't get the chance to do it?
Mm.
And I was really blown away by the maturity of it. And then there's this little boy named Mario that in our life we have taken care of. We've been blessed and privileged to take care of this little boy since he was born. He's born to a dear friend of mine who's a single mom who has health problems. And this little boy is half black, half Hispanic. And his mother died of AIDS, and his mother had been a prostitute. I mean, this is a tough, tough situation. This little boy, and I've never talked about it publicly, but my friend's child, we as a family have taken care of him and his mom all these years and have been privileged to be able to do it. He's now almost 16 years old, this little boy. And then Cody says to me, and Mom, if I do it, I'll be able to pay for Mario's school this year.
Oh, are you kidding me?
No. So I allowed Cody to do the movie with him. He took half of his fee and paid for well more than what this little boy needed for his private tutoring. You can imagine the health issues and the educational issues this little boy has. And he did it all on his own. I said, that's all you need to know about my son. He's relentless about what he wants to accomplish. But he also knows that if he accomplishes it, it's for God's glory, and he'll share it, whatever blessings come from it. I think that's all I care about as a parent. I tell Cody and Cass all the time, they always win kindest and most polite by their classmates every year when they were little. I said, if you guys never win an Oscar, a Tony, NFL Player of the Year, MVP, or never get into the Hall of Fame like your father, or Emmy nominated like your mother, whatever, none of that matters. Kindness. The kindest and most polite kid all year long, excuse me, the greatest thing you can ever be, an award will pale in comparison to kindness.
Well, here's a quote from his coach. Cody's a kid with a lot of heart, and sometimes heart is more important than talent. Yeah. Nobody has more heart than that kid.
I read that and started to cry, as you can imagine. Cody is not blessed with the same athletic prowess that his father was blessed with. First of all, he's not a hungry kid the way his father was. His father ate dog food as a child. He was so poor. So for him, football was a way to escape the oil fields and poverty. So Cody has never known anything like that. But as I'm telling you, it came down to who would be the starting quarterback just this week at Greenwich High. Cody didn't make it, but he was in the running, and he is the backup quarterback at Greenwich High, which won the state championship last year. I mean, he's become a very, very fine football player, not because he was innately blessed with that ability, but he put his mind to it. So when I read that, it talked about character, not ability.
Yeah, nice.
You know, character.
Nice.
God gives gifts, but then he expects, what are you going to do with the gifts I give you?
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do with
it?
And so Yeah, I did cry over that. I got to admit, I did.
Well, my son, here we are bragging about our kids, as we're prone to do, in Australia, played a new game that he'd never played before called Aussie
Rugby?
Rules. Aussie Rules, AFL.
Oh.
And it's a bizarre game, incredibly tough, very physical game. And
they are very tough guys, those guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
very.
Yeah. Yeah. And Josh played so hard that quite oftentimes he would come off the field, he'd be crying. And I'd say, well, what's wrong? Did you get hurt? He said, no, I just can't breathe. So he just pushed himself and pushed himself. Anyway, he won, not the most valuable player or anything like that. He won the, I can't remember the name of the award, but it was like, you know, best guy on the team award or best heart, biggest
award.
Heart. Yeah, that was
exactly.
It. That was it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I tell Cody all the time, you win the sportsmanship award?
Yeah.
What is better than that?
Yeah, no, that'll work for me. That'll work.
But you see it in your children years and years and years ago. Cody was running a race at the school. He was in the, you know, elementary school. And he was winning the race. And the little kid that all the other little kids made fun of tripped. Cody saw, he looked back, saw that the little boy had fallen. I didn't know this from Cody. One of the teachers told me. Cody stopped.
No.
Yep.
This is like this is like urban myth stuff. This is the email that everyone gets forwarded.
He went back and picked up the little boy, and they ran over the end zone together.
Holy cow.
And I, you know, when this teacher told me that, he said, you know, Mrs. Gifford, I don't, you know, I don't know what you know about Cody here at school. I said, well, if he's the same kid at home, he's a jerk. He said, you know, because I had told Cody years ago, and I, you know, I hope this doesn't offend anybody in your audience, but I got to tell the truth.
I've taken care of that already.
Years ago, I said to him, Cody, the whole world is watching us. And it wasn't, of course, but it seemed like it at the time when all the tabloid attention was on us.
Yep.
I said, so if you're going to act up, you act up at home, or I could beat the crap out of you. Nobody's going to know. Pardon my French, but he got the joke. But the irony is, he's done that. He still, to this day, is like a jerk at home, but apparently, every time he leaves our house, he's like this terrific kid. So, you know, I said, people will tell me these amazing things about Cody, and I'll go, that awful human being that I want to just rip to shreds at home all the time is so rude to me.
But he knows you're going to love him no matter what. So if he's going to let his hair down, let her go at home, right?
Well, that's the whole point.
Sure.
Let's be honest. We love our children unconditionally. You show me somebody that loves their spouse that way.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Mm.
Many, many, many conditions to that. But our kids, you know, we love them anyway.
Are you looking forward to the anniversary special? I mean, when is that?
You know, I really actually am.
Regis and Kelly, September 14th.
Yeah.
Is it live?
You know what? We're actually going to tape it a couple of days ahead because it's so complicated what they're doing.
Okay.
So I think we're shooting it on the 11th and then it airs on the 14th.
Right.
So, yeah, and the irony of it is Regis and Joy had come to our home in Nantucket to visit. You've been to my house here in Nantucket. Actually, you were at the other house.
Yes.
Yeah, we moved. We moved a couple of
years. You downsized.
We downsized. That's right. As Cassidy, who's working out, is for the – Cassidy, I picked her up yesterday here in Nantucket. She's working for the head surf teacher here, you know, surf.
Yeah.
And she just sort of mans his stand and books lessons and things like that. And she was so excited to get this job, and it was raining, and it was awful yesterday. She was not too much of a happy camper. And she gets in the car, and she goes, Mom, thank God one of us has a job in this family.
Oh, man.
Making 10 bucks an hour, but let me tell you something, it's helping.
That's funny. So it's going to be, you're looking forward to it, it's going to be you and who else is going to be on the show?
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell you. Regis and Joy were here in Nantucket. The first time I was able to get him to come visit in 10 years since we've had this house. I see him every couple of months for dinner and stuff in Greenwich, but we really haven't had three solid days where we just hung together. We just had the best time. And as we're flying home, I looked at Regis. I said, Regis, do you know what today is? And he goes, Saturday. I said, good, Reach. Excellent. Yes, but what else is it today, Reach? 28th of July. He goes, I don't know. What is it? I said, today is the 7th anniversary of our last show together.
Wow.
And a little, sort of a little tear comes to both our eyes. You know, he goes, no kidding. It's just gone so fast.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So about a week later, we get a call. Basically, it was actually on Cassidy's birthday, and we're having a little party for her here at the house, and get a phone call that they'd called and said, will you be a part of the 20th anniversary? And I was, of course I will. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Of course I would.
Isn't that
15 very important years of my life, and I still have very dear friends from then, and Reach being the greatest.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to know, though, actually, Kathy, whatever happened to that controversial videotape that had you and Jiminy Glick in it?
Oh, I was young. I needed the money.
I saw that the other day, and I almost fell off the chair at the computer. I was crying in tears. I had a stitch in my stomach.
Yeah.
That was bizarre.
I got a few phone calls from Christians on that one, definitely. But you know what? You got to know Marty Short to understand why I felt so free to do something so silly. It's a completely ad-libbed show, completely and totally ad-libbed. And so, you know, I was having a little fun, all right?
Yeah. Don't judge me. And the reality is, we always get offended on behalf of other people. Does that offend you? Oh, no. But I'm sure it's going to offend somebody else. You know what?
I was having the time of my life. If it offends somebody, they need to get a life.
Yeah,
you
pretty
know?
Much.
Because for whatever reason, God has called me into that secular world. I was never comfortable. You and I have talked about this. I was never comfortable being a cookie-cutter Christian. Mm. I think God went to extraordinary lengths to make every snowflake different. Don't you think he's done that with people, too?
Well, you're different.
Well, you are, too, buddy. Look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah.
And then when we insult him, when we don't allow his spirit to move and work in us as an individual, not some cookie-cutter, you know, the law kills, but the spirit gives life. And the times that I have been able to share the love of the Lord, and I don't even want the word witness, you know, I crawl from it. Just share his love with people who would not turn on a Billy Graham crusade, will not open their Bible in yet in a derisive way, would not turn on a Christian, would laugh at Christian music, would just never in a million years be interested or attuned to that frequency, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
But they're with me, and I'm the only person with them at 4 o'clock in the morning on a movie set. They'll listen. They'll talk, especially if they've seen you be kind to people and loving to people, and you're different, and they sense something different about you. They understand that you've come through a whole lot, and you haven't lost your integrity. They're blown away by that, actually, that you'd serve a different master. And so they're inquisitive about it, and they're open in a way that they normally would not be to somebody that's a religious, in quotes, leader.
Hmm.
And I'm grateful that God has entrusted that to me.
And so am I. So am I. That's why I've been interviewed a couple of different times in various places, and people have said, who's your favorite guest? And you have been. For these last 4 years, start of our fifth season now, you have been. Of course, I've just offended everybody else, including Candace Cameron, who's coming up next after you.
Tell her hello for me, please.
Well, I will, but...
I love her brother, Kirk. I don't know Candace very well, but her brother's amazing.
Yeah, don't say that to her, though, okay? You know, she's a big fan of, is it Mandisa? You know Mandisa, the American Idol girl, the black girl that Simon chastised for being a Christian and singing some...
Oh, yes, who is such a beautiful witness
for
the Lord. She was fantastic.
Well, the people, she sent an email to her people saying, look, I'm a big fan and just wanted to encourage and blah, blah, blah. And they sent an email back saying, oh, my goodness, we can't believe it's you, and you've really emailed us. DJ from Full House, isn't that amazing? La da 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 da. And then they go, can you get us a signed picture of Kirk? Nice, huh?
Yeah, well, she's every bit as big a star as he is, and a beautiful, beautiful girl. And please tell her hello for me.
I will.
You know what? You know why I know Kirk so well? I told you about the young lady with the young son that
yes.
we take care of.
Yeah.
She was Kirk's assistant for years.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
there's the connection.
That's why I know Kirk so well.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Ian Morgan Cron. Is that how you say his last name?
Ian Morgan Cron.
Cron.
Yes, Ian Cron.
September 29th, he's going to be a guest on our show.
Oh, my gosh. Did you read Chasing Francis?
They're yet to send it to me. I should read it this week. I mean, I should get it this week.
Oh, my gosh. I'm hoping to make it into a movie. It would be such a beautiful movie. He is an extraordinary man of God and a beautiful writer and a great... Make sure you get his records as well.
Okay.
And play some of his music. He is a terrific songwriter, guitarist, mandolin player. Oh, the music at our church, Drew, is unbelievable. I remember years ago I sent you the record of my friend Rob Mathis.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get Rob on the show as well.
Well, were you not blown away by that record?
Yeah, I still am blown away, and I use it in my show regularly.
Spend some time with a fat man. Oh,
Speaking of Jiminy Glick.
Well, exactly. But no, Rob Mathis is one of the... he did two cuts off my Gentle Grace album.
Yeah.
Only because he had to sandwich me. I think it was in between Rod Stewart and Sting.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. I said, you can sandwich me between those two guys anytime. but that's the caliber of musician that he is. And he is our worship leader at our church. And Ian is our pastor. And it is the most first century church. I've always hated church. Now I hated it. I hated going. It was boring. I didn't feel worshipful. I spent the whole time in church praying about my attitude. Until I finally went to this church in Connecticut that I go to. We meet in a middle school. We don't even have a building. And I think that's an advantage. Sometimes it so much becomes about the building instead of the community. We are a first century Christian church. And it's all about social justice, and it's all about seeking God together, and it's just the coolest, coolest thing. And so, I mean, sometimes we have the Rolling Stones brass section at our church service on a Sunday morning. You know, the other day they showed U2 at the Super Bowl and talked about, you know, their use of scripture and their music. They just make it so real.
Good for them.
And when I spoke to Ian, you can ask him about this. I spoke to Ian about, and I confessed to him when we wanted to join this church. I've never joined a church in my whole life. I've gone to them, but I haven't joined one. It was the first time in my life I wanted to join a church, and I said, Ian, I have to confess that I've always hated church. And he sort of was so adorable about it. He says, Kathy, that's why Rob and I started this church. We hate church, too. We thought, wouldn't it be cool if we started a church that we loved going to, couldn't wait to go to on a Sunday morning?
You know, it reminds me of that final scene of the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner show where him and Yosemite Sam are, of course it does, as they're walking away from the camera, and Bugs turns around and says, if you can't beat him, join him. And I think that's, you know, if it's one thing to sit back and criticize the church, as I do week in and week out, but if you're not going to shut up and make a difference, get your hands dirty, get in there and try to do something about it, then shut up and go away.
Well, I have to tell you a joke a friend of mine said the other day. This kills me. I love this. This guy, of course, is marooned on a deserted island, as usual. Years, years, and years and years go by. Finally, his rescue comes. And the people come to rescue him, and they look and they go, well, my goodness, look what you've done. You've got 3 buildings here on this island. This is unbelievable. What are they? He says, well, you see that one in the middle? He goes, yeah. He says, well, that's where I live. That's my house. I go, oh, what's that one over to the left? He goes, oh, that's the church I go to. He says, what's the one on the right? He goes, that's the church I used to go to.
Nice. Oh, man.
I love that.
You have so many issues. Really, you do.
I do.
There's too many.
God's dealing with me on every level.
You should not have dropped out of Oral Roberts University, you know?
You don't think?
No, I think you should have stayed, and I think you should have pushed forward to get that part of Tiffany Wells and Charlie's Angels. I think that would have been...
Oh, gosh, you know too much. You don't. You know what I got to say about that? When I wrote that first book I wrote, which was pretty critical about ORU, because at the time it was, you know, I don't know how to be anything other than sort of,
cheeky.
You know, candid about things. And I didn't mean to hurt anyone, but I just thought that's the reason I left, because at the time it was a cookie-cutter Christian mentality.
Yeah.
That I rebelled against. I got the most beautiful letter quite a few years back, now maybe 10 years back, from Richard Roberts, who by that time had taken over the school. Mm-hmm. And he said, Kathy, I just want you to know that I appreciate what you wrote. I understand the spirit in which you wrote it, and I just want you to know I'm trying really hard now to make it different here so that every individual will feel like that this is a place for them to grow and soar. Yeah, in the spirit. And then he gave a beautiful donation to Cassidy's Place, the home for AIDS and crack babies in New York City that we had built. That meant so much to me because it was not my intention to hurt anyone. And I'm sure now when some of my dearest friends' kids go to Oral Roberts University now, from what I understand, it's very, very different now. It's not a legalistic, I mean, they're always going to have rules.
Sure,
of course,
sure.
You need rules.
Sure.
God gave us rules for our own good.
Oh, I need them.
You know, I kind of need them a whole lot myself, but the law should not rule. Love always should.
Yeah.
And I think that from what I understand, because a friend of mine is on the board of deacons or whatever they have there, not deacons, it's not a church, board of elders or whatever they've got. She's
board.
On the board there.
Yeah.
And she says, Kathy, it's changed so much. And I'm so
it's
glad because we need these kinds of universities where our kids can be prepared to, not to be cookie-cutter Christians, but to go out and make a difference in the world, be salt and light and fragrance, you know?
You know, do you ever look at the clock when we talk? I mean, we could rattle on, can't we?
And apparently we have. It's been 40 minutes already.
Before we let you go, because you have a life, it's a beautiful place to be over in Nantucket, and you need to get out there and schmooze. Maryland Junior Miss.
Oh, come on.
17 years old.
Yeah.
What I really want to know is, did they ask you any kind of hard questions in that competition?
You know what people don't know about the America's Junior Miss pageant is, because it says pageant at the end of it, people assume it's a beauty pageant, and they look at me, and I look so much like Angelina Jolie, they just assume that it was a beauty pageant. You know?
Okay.
Oh, I'm so tired of people, because, you know,
Stop.
Thinking I'm her, and
Stop.
I'm not. It's exhausting.
Yep.
But anyway, it was not a beauty pageant at all. It was, at that time, I don't even think it exists anymore, but at that time it was completely a scholarship.
Oh, so you had to be smart. Like, you had to know...
Yeah.
You had to know...
The geography of America, kind of, yeah.
You had
to know where to find the United States on a world map. It does
Americans
help.
Yeah, have a listen to this and see if this rings any bells.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because...
I can't even play the rest.
I know it. It's please don't. Poor baby.
And she went on the Good Morning USA or whatever. I don't know.
Or
some Americans.
Show or apparently didn't do much better from what I hear.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know... You know, how should we respond to that? I was talking to John Ratzenberger about his organization, the Nuts and Bolts Foundation, I think is what it's called, and his basic point on our show, of course, Cliff Clavin from Cheers.
He has directed me in several different things, and what a sweetheart
of a
man.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
ask him next time he's on about what happened when we were doing Evening Shade.
Okay, I will.
Talk about being Christians in this world. Ask him about that.
Okay, all right.
You can't bring up anybody I don't have a story about. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, he was going on about the fact that the teenagers these days, or the children, are growing up confident as all get out, but they're as thick as bricks. They don't understand things. They're not getting stuff, and they're certainly not working with their hands. They're not handy, and we're losing a whole generation of workers, of people who are using their hands, tradesmen. Like, we're going to lose a whole generation of tradesmen.
Well, not only that, which is
and women.
Huge. That's huge. But the entitlement...
Yeah.
That somehow they are entitled to a career, entitled to a three-car garage, entitled to a happy marriage, and entitled to 2.4 children, and entitled to anything. When did that start happening? I certainly wasn't raised that way, and I'm certainly trying not to raise my kids that way. I mean, there's nothing more obnoxious to me. You mentioned the three ladies, young ladies before. There is an attitude of entitlement there that is so upsetting to me. You know what? If God is going to bless you and put you in a position of influence and prosperity, there is a tremendous responsibility that goes with that. To whom much is given, much is required.
Well said.
And it's a joy, to serve the Lord, and a privilege to share from your abundance. But somewhere along the line, and I don't hold the girls responsible. Somebody dropped the parenting gene and decided to be their best friend instead of their mother or their father. And, I'll party with my daughter when it's her birthday. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you don't go nightclubbing and with that with your kids and letting them dance on tables when they're 15 years old and let them drop out of school unless they have a skill and learn something that they can make a living. I mean, you just don't. It just reinforces the entitlement attitude. So, yeah, I'm totally with the old Cliff. I adore him. John is one of the sweethearts of the business. Oh, yeah. Dear, dear man.
Yeah, we had a wonderful time. It was another lengthy chat.
He can talk. They didn't give him enough lines on Cheers. No. If only they had.
Now, just before we let you go, you've had some losses in your life over the last little bit. Of course, we all lost Ruth Bell Graham.
Yes.
And you represented her legacy quite well with Fox. I thought you did a great job.
Thank you, sweetie. I was honored to.
Great job. Claudia Cohen?
Yeah, my friend Claudia.
Another tough loss. And, of course, Grandpa Gardner.
Grandpa Gardner, Christine's father.
Christine's
father. Passed away last month, and my own daddy almost 5 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
You still have a picture of your dad by your...
I do. It's got water spots on it because I brush my teeth right there in the morning and I talk to him and I got to learn to, you know, do one or the other and not talk to him while I'm brushing my teeth.
Who do you miss most in your life?
My daddy.
Yeah.
No question, my daddy. every day of my life. My mom and I talked about it the other day, that August 29th would have been their 56th wedding anniversary. Hmm. Oh, no, more than that, 60th, I think. Hmm. Let me think. Oh, excuse me. How could I have gotten that wrong? They were my brother. Oh, I hate to do this math because it's painful on my side of it. If I just turned 54, that means my brother is 57, so it would have been their 58th. So it would have been their 58th wedding anniversary.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that one hurt. You know, I think it's more than that. How could that be?
Do I need the Jeopardy music right now? Or?
You know, that's why I don't go on these. They ask me to do these things all the time, and I go, I already feel like an idiot. Why do I have to go on national television and prove it?
Well, again, I love having you on our show. You were the first guest that wooed me. We had an incredible lengthy first interview. I think it was over an hour long the first time.
Oh, so you're not as in love with me as you used to be.
No,
45
no.
Minutes
yeah,
now.
We're done. Thank you very much.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting old.
But you are.
That's all I can say.
Kathy, you still are with, and I'm not just sucking up. You really are my favorite. Yeah, I love your warmth. I love your genuineness, your vulnerability, your teachability. These are huge things that I appreciate in a person's life, and I find very few people that have them, and you're one of them.
Well, Drew, you know how I feel about you. Like, God bless your wife for letting us meet like this every year. You know you're always welcome, and in my home and our home, and God bless you in the great ministry you have. I think we need more authenticity in this world. We need to have more organic Christianity that comes from our core. That is not, not for show. It is, they will know you are Christians by your love. They will know by the fruits of your life. And I'm still working on the fruit, still trying to get, a little miracle grow on me every day or so, because I need it, and we all do. But if I can't be an authentic Christian, I don't want to be one at all. What's the point?
Perfect. Perfect.
Know?
Very well said.
Love
well
you,
said.
My friend.
Thank you. We're going to go out with Love Never Fails.
Oh, my gosh. God
by
bless you.
Kathy
Take
Lee Gifford.
Care, brother.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. What a great woman. Great woman. Enjoy our friendship. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Kathy Lee Gifford singing in the background. A short break. Got to play these commercials. When we come back, waiting very patiently, Candace Cameron. Of course, known for a role as DJ Tanner in Full House. Amongst many other things. Another classy, classy lady in the Hollywood world who genuinely follows Christ. This woman has probably convicted me more of stuff in my life than anybody else this year. So get ready for this one. Candace Cameron coming up. Stay with us.
Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca.